about 20 minutes left in the first hour of the Craig Folly Show here on 101.9 WDET. Thank you very much for being with me on this Wednesday. And for many of us, of course, Black Friday is past, Cyber Monday is over, and for many of us, we actually settle into actually doing our shopping now and avoiding some of those maddening crowds and things like that. But where you shop may have a much larger impact on your community than you realize. My guest in the studio right now is Stacy Mitchell, author of the book Big Box Swindle, The True Cost of Mega Retailers and the Fight for America's Independent Businesses. This book was published in 2006, and what's amazing about it is we now have time to sort of reflect on some of the things you said there and see whether or not a lot of these things are indeed correct. And I have to say, looking at it, you were pretty right on with a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Craig Folly Show.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is interesting because I think we oftentimes are sort of blinded by the promise of jobs mm-hmm. when we welcome a Walmart or a Target or any other Costco, Sam's Club, whatever, into our neighborhoods. We see this big construction project and a couple hundred people getting jobs.
It certainly looks like economic development, but all of the economic research that's been done suggests that's not actually the case. You actually end up losing more jobs than you gain when one of these stores comes in if you add up all of the local businesses that either downsize or close altogether, and you add up all of those jobs that are lost. What you find is that a Walmart or Home Depot actually ends up destroying a few more jobs than it creates in a community. And in fact, as these retailers have grown, overall retail employment has declined in many places.
Well, and also the average pay of the mm-hmm. retail worker has declined
as well.
That's
absolutely right. The argument I make in the book is that these companies, the sort of Walmart economic model, is undermining the American middle class. You know, we've lost tens of thousands of small businesses that used to be able to support their families. We've seen, you know, Home Depot, Target, all of these companies pushing good manufacturing jobs overseas, again, jobs that used to pay a middle-class wage. And what have they given us in return? All they've given us are very low-wage jobs working in their stores.
Well, and what you point out is, in almost a perverse way, they've created a situation which perpetuates itself, because mm-hmm. when people lose buying power, they are forced to go to the place that is going to give them the best deal on a product that they want. They're forced to shop at the very stores that are creating this income.
That's absolutely right. We're shopping ourselves out of decent jobs. And the more we do it, the more we go down that road and down that cycle, the worse off we're becoming economically. And you can see it. People feel it in the shrinking of the middle class and the growing numbers of people who are working poor, you know, working full-time but not making enough to meet even basic needs.
Wait, what's shocking to me, though, is sort of the short-term nature of our thinking about mm-hmm. these sorts of things. Governments, politicians, of course, are sort of, as I said, blinded by this lure of this big project, something they can put on their resume and say, look, mm-hmm. I brought, you know, Walmart to the community, and I don't mean to pick on Walmart, but they are one in every $10, you point out, is spent yeah. at Walmart in this country,
yeah.
which is just a huge, huge number. But this promise of this new company and, you know, the tax revenue that's going to come with it, which then does not materialize because these companies create a situation which they can threaten to leave if they don't get the tax breaks that they want. It's almost yeah. as if they have this plan and that, you know, once you get them in, then they sort of hatch the plan.
Yeah. That's very true. And what, you know, what I think is another myth that is that, you know, we sort of think, oh, well, it's just competition. That's all that's driving the growth of these stores. People are going there and shopping. And that's part of the story. But the other part of the story is that governments all over the country have subsidized these companies in all kinds of ways. Everywhere they go, they're asking for multi-million dollar tax breaks, various kinds of help. There are a lot of loopholes in state tax codes that they exploit, things that are not available to the independent retailers that they compete with. We have a very unlevel playing field. The good news, though, is that as more of this research is being done, I mean, there really in the last few years has been this growing popular grassroots kind of uprising, if you will, of people saying, you know what, this economic model really isn't working. And what we need to rethink is a local economy, about having businesses that are owned in the community by our neighbors, about supporting those businesses. And all over the country we're seeing, you know, the growth in this kind of sentiment.
My guest right now, Stacy Mitchell, author of Big Box Swindle, The True Cost of Mega Retailers and the Fight for America's Independent Businesses. And I want to get to the pushback in just a second, but I think one of the things people also don't think about when they look at perhaps the economic development of one of these big box retailers is that local businesses tend to use local services, mm-hmm. banks, accountants, whoever. And they actually patronize community businesses, whereas these major corporate retailers, they have all that stuff either in-house or somewhere else. So that's money that just leaves the community.
Yeah, it's shocking when you realize it. My organization, which is the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, did a study a few years back. And we looked at a number of locally owned businesses, and we tracked what happens when you spend a dollar at those locally. Where does it go? And what we found is that almost 50 cents out of every dollar spent at a locally owned business is re-spent in your local community. Banking at the local bank, hiring the local accountant, local web designer, sourcing goods locally. All this sort of web of economic connections that a local business has. We then looked at what happens when you shop at a big box store, and we found that only 14 cents of every dollar that you spend at a big box store stays local. That means every time you walk into Home Depot or Walmart and spend money, 85-86% of that money that you spend is simply leaving the community altogether and just sucking all that wealth out.
Well, and not to mention, one of the things you point out in this book as well is that these companies have such power over the suppliers that give them the product that they can basically dictate mm-hmm. that, look, you have to lower your prices or we're not going to sell your product, which has forced a number of these companies to move their operations to cheaper companies. And what was startling to me is that countries like Mexico, which were seen as the low-cost opportunity place to manufacture, are losing jobs now to even lower-cost manufacturing
yeah.
centers.
Yeah, it's a race to the bottom. What happens is that these retailers, and in addition to sort of going to big manufacturers and saying, you got to move overseas or we're not going to buy from you anymore, and oh, by the way, we're 50% of your market, so you can't say no to us. The other thing that's happening that's even more, I think, alarming is a lot of the goods that these retailers are selling, they're actually private label now. They're getting them manufactured themselves, and so they're beginning to cut out the manufacturers altogether and becoming this huge integrated supply line all the way back to China. Wages go up in China. What's going to happen? Well, Walmart's going to say, we're going to find a lower cost somewhere else. It's just a bidding war to the absolute bottom. And you end up with this whole chain of people, you know, from the young woman in China who made the good, all the way up to the young woman often who's working, you know, in the Walmart store, none of whom are getting any real benefit out of that system. All of whom are working poor. It's a very much a colonial economic system.
Yeah, and that's something you point out, going back where it's not designed to have self-sustaining communities, but to strip the wealth out of said communities for the benefit of whoever the overseer happens to be.
It's true. As I was writing the book, and I kept sort of looking at what actually happens.
It's like serfdom.
Yeah, I realized, you know, what you're seeing is not an economy. What you're seeing is a kind of colonial system where, you know, they come in and they strip mine the wealth out of our communities, out of these communities in China, wherever they go, whatever they're doing. There's only one entity that's benefiting, and that's Walmart or Target or whoever it may be.
My guest once again is Stacy Mitchell. She's the author of Big Box Swindle. Also, she works with the New Rules Project, a nonprofit that advises communities on how to strengthen local economies. And the end of the book sort of gets to this positive thing that's happening. We are seeing a number of communities that are saying, you know what, we like our downtowns. We've been this way for a long time. We want to preserve them. Are we coming up with more effective strategies on how to combat some of these big box developments, which often occur on the outskirts of a town, which then again sucks the resources and the businesses out of the main downtown area?
Yeah, we are all over the country. You know, communities really have a lot of power at the end of the day. And what we're seeing, there are a lot of cities that have said no to more big box development. They've said, you know, we've got what we need, no more. And they've actually used zoning laws to outlaw more of that kind of development. And we're seeing more cities that are really channeling their economic development resources. So instead of, you know, giving a new Target store a $7 million tax break, what if we took that money and helped a new generation of entrepreneurs get started? And one of the more encouraging things that's happening is a lot of people are simply moving their shopping. You know, not necessarily everything can you get at a local business, mm-hmm. but there are lots of places where you could shift, and something that you've been buying at a big box store, seeking out a locally owned business for that. And that's happening all over the country. And we're documenting that shift in consumer spending.
Well, and I wonder if you know, the big boxers out there are sort of recognizing this change, because you see a number of new mall developments from some of the big mall developers are trying to sort of recreate that down-home, downtown feel, trying to recreate that. We've seen a number of instances just around here where you have these new malls popping up that are trying to be the new town square, so to speak.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I mean, they destroy the real thing and then, you know, some number of years later build a kind of fake version of a main street. And of course, if you go to these outdoor sort of faux town centers, you know, there's no public library there. I mean, it's not really a community center at all. It's just a kind of a facsimile of one, a kind of Disneyland version of it. Yeah, that's definitely occurring. You know, the other thing that we're seeing is a lot of these big retailers are trying to figure out how they can sort of pretend to be local too.
Yeah.
And probably the most amazing example of that is Starbucks, which now has about half a dozen new coffee shops in Seattle that you wouldn't know it's a Starbucks. They're actually named after their location. So they'll be like 15th Avenue Coffee and Tea.
Wow.
And you go in there and it's just like an independent coffee store. Only if you read the fine print on the menu would you know it's a Starbucks. And I think it's amazing that here you have a company that spent untold millions building one of the most well-known brands in the world, and they're masquerading as a local coffee shop. So clearly their market research is detecting a shift in public attitudes, which, you know, is a little unnerving, but I also think is really encouraging for independent businesses, that people really are starting to rethink this idea that chains are the best.
Stacy Mitchell has been my guest. Her book, Big Box Swindle, How the True Cost of Mega Retailers and the Fight for America's Independent Businesses. And one of the things she also talks about in here is really how a number of independent businesses are getting together, trying to work together to combat some of what they are seeing out there. We're going to talk to a bunch of local folks that are doing just that in just a moment. But Stacy, thank you very much for being here. It's been a pleasure.
This has been great. Thank you.
This is the Craig Folly Show on WD.